Welcome to episode 6 in our series looking at the history of Broken Hill. This episode will take us to many places around the Silver City, but will also take us almost 100 years back in time. Brian Tonkin is the Archives Officer with the City Library, and Brian, could you please tell the listeners a little bit about where we are and what we're doing today?
I thought we'd look at the picnic train attack that took place back in 1915, the 1st of January. And what I thought today what we'd do is we'd just start off with the Sulphide Streets railway station. That's where we're actually standing now on the platform. We can actually see, of course, now it's a museum. The railway stopped running here since 1970 when the rail standardisation went through. So here it is today in 2011, a railway museum, and it's very good, very good. Recommend to anybody to come along and have a look at it. But this was the 1st of January 1915, and we see that about 1,200 people board these open ore trucks. They just had wooden planks, so they'd be sitting in those. About 40 ore trucks in total to take 1,200 people out to Silverton for a picnic.
It's a pretty small station. It would have been absolutely packed with excited people and families and children. It's hard to imagine it now, isn't it?
Well, when you look at the photos, you can see everybody dressed up to the nines, you know. I mean, really dressed up. And thinking it's 1st of January and it's going to be a warmish sort of day. Yeah, but everybody was dressed up, and they certainly would have been excited. And one person I know was probably pretty excited was a lady called Dorothy Sullivan. Now, she's 100 years of age, and I got this letter from Helen, who lives in Forbes, and she wrote about her aunt and saying that she was on the picnic train, as was my grandmother, who was also on that particular picnic train. And so we're just examining the sort of the events that happened today, but also just asking people to think about, do they have any relatives or know of anybody that's still alive today that was actually on that picnic train? So those 1,200 people, a lot of those, of course, women and children, and naturally enough, the kids would have certainly been excited going out to Silverton, you know, for the big picnic day. 10 o'clock in the morning, and off they go. Yeah. And so they were pretty excited. And we can see, looking down where the track would have gone, towards the railway town area, and this is their starting point.
Well, how about we carry on our tour and follow the path of this train and where it was heading?
Absolutely.
So we've come outside of Broken Hill here. Brian, can you explain for the listeners what we have right in front of us?
Yeah, this is one of the ore carriages. It certainly wasn't the exact one that I used in 1915, but certainly representation at least gives you some idea what an ore truck looks like. And no doubt some of the picnickers would have used those later on as they ventured out into the picnic areas around Broken Hill. Unfortunately, this story develops into a bit of a horror story, I guess, for the locals, because we find in the background, just on that rise, two assailants set themselves up there to attack the picnic train as it went past. And they came out with an ice cream cart. They were flying the Turkish flag. Remember, this is virtually the start of First World War. And so we find that these guys shoot off about 20 to 30 bullets at the train. As a result of that, four people are dead and several are wounded. Now, you can imagine the panic and the mayhem, I think the shock of what was happening. You know, they're thinking, well, what's going on here? You know, and they're firing at us. When it sort of calmed down, they decamp. And then they make their way over to a place called White Rocks.
It must have been an amazingly frightening and scary thing, because these ore trucks were really crammed full of people, sort of like livestock, weren't they? And there would have been nowhere to move.
And we're just, you know, you can see the hill behind us, so they were in a trench. The trench was part of the a wooden pipeline going out to Umburumbika, and that's where they were held up. So you can see it wouldn't be far from there to just there's the railway line in front of us, I mean through that scrub. So they're reasonably close. As you said, they haven't got much room to manoeuvre. In actual fact, one of the engine drivers gives Issa a report and says they're trying to fire at him as well, you see, and of course they can see what's happening. And of course, you know, they fire off a couple of shots and they said, well, we're going to try and get, you know, keep on moving fast here. And in the meantime, of course, then they just, you know, easy targets. And as a result, as I said, there was several wounded. One of the ladies actually tears up a petticoat, I suppose you call it, and helps one of the wounded. And in the meantime, of course, they go over towards the cemetery, get on the telephone, and then of course bring up the police and say, right, this is what's happened. And then there's all these people coming out. You've got the militia who arm themselves. They march up Oxide Street towards the Cable Hotel, which is the final, I suppose, shootout. And we find that even children decide they're going to have a bit of a pot shot as well. In fact, somebody brought in, I think it was last year, a diary entry of that particular time that reads thus. Frank went out to the Scotsman's picnic. Tom and I had a few shots at the Turks that fired upon Silverton picnic. Both were shot dead. And that's what he's written in his diary on the 1st of January 1915.
Amazing.
So even as kids, they just said, oh, well, we're going to go out and have a shot. So it was probably very chaotic. And the amazing thing about it, when they decamp from here to assailants, they actually go past one of the camel camps on the west side of town and they point the gun at one of the Afghans there. And of course, he just, you know, what do you think you're doing, you know? Because he doesn't know what's going on. He just, you know, gets a bit of a shock of his life. They then go up to a hut up on top of, BKN. You can see the actual aerial and the broadcasting tower there. And there's an old one-room hut, I suppose, stone hut. Chap opens the door and he sees these guys with guns. And, of course, he shuts the door. And in the meantime, they fire through the timber and he actually gets wounded as well. But the sad part about it, by the time they had come to where they're going to have this this shootout, there's a chap chopping wood across the valley. It's like a valley, and he's there, and his family's like, get inside, you know. And unfortunately, he was the fourth victim of that particular massacre, so certainly would go down in Broken Hill's history is one of those darkest hours of having a day of enjoyment to turn out in such a horrible fashion. And as it turns out, those two assailants obviously paid with their lives as well.
So the attack took place right at the beginning of World War One. What was known about the motivation behind these two men taking out this attack?
Well, you got one that's 60 years of age, and then you got the younger bloke in his late 20s, and you think that possibly the older gentleman's the butcher for the local community. He's doing according to his religious convictions, slaughtering of meat, and he gets fined. He gets taken to court and actually fined. He can't pay the fine. Maybe that was the reason, one of the reasons why he was sort of, maybe that anger was in his soul and he just needed to express it. And maybe the young bloke was also a bit of a tearaway. Why were they flying the Turkish flag, for example? Were they under influence of a drug? You know, they found drugs and hashish, and so were they actually affected by drugs? Somebody even suggested as well that it could have been a motivation of paying these guys to sort of cause a bit of angst in the community. No doubt the community anger would swell up. You know, the national anger would swell up as well, and maybe then you would have more volunteers going towards, going out there and fighting evil Turks.
So sort of a conspiracy theory surrounding
it. Yes, there's several theories being put forward, and there's certainly a lot of conjecture, but I guess in the long term, because we'll never really find out exactly why they did it. I think that they found a couple of confession notes after. For some reason, it doesn't get discovered until later on not the immediately after, you know, you just scoured around the rocks and things, but it was a bit later on, oh, we found this confession, you know, and they said, well, we don't blame on anybody, you know, for this, what's happened, et cetera, et cetera. So you really, overall, you still don't find out exactly why it happened. Only those two gentlemen would have known why they were doing it. And yes, yeah, so the rest of us will just, unfortunately, just speculate for the, for the time in memoriam.
So after the attack, there was a mad scramble over the hills and an eventual showdown at White Rocks. Mm. Should we head over there now?
Absolutely, I think good idea.
Okay, so we're on top of a fairly innocuous hill that, you know, doesn't seem to be exceptional in any way except for the part it played in this amazing battle.
Mm, absolutely. So this is the White Rocks that they've set up as a tourist attraction, and just in front of us we have a replica of the ice cream cart that was used by the assailants. So by the time the militia came up, let's say, the main street, well, one of the main streets, anyhow, Oxide Street, to come up to just around this particular area to tackle the assailants. And then you had, as I said, the kids as well. So this firefight obviously took a bit of time to come to an end. And eventually one was killed, one was just near death anyhow. And so by the time they took them in, the person had died, and then they took the bodies to the morgue and so on. But the aftermath was this. The German club was burnt down virtually the next night. The drunken mob got together and said, right, and Germans, well, we'll line them up. Had a club just up near the Water Sullies, or the new art gallery, just off Delamore Street, off Argent, and they burnt that to the ground. The mob then proceeded to the Afghan North Camel Camp, but the militia were all ready and waiting for them. They said, righto, this is it, we're going to fire. If you guys want to push your luck, you come on, otherwise we'll just fire on you. And there could have been another absolute bloodbath, I guess. It's, you know, if they decide they're going to push it. And they sense prevailed, and they all disbanded. But certainly at that stage, they were prepared to fire this mob. So from that, nationally, we find that Billy Hughes, the Prime Minister, then puts guard details on ports, and so they certainly did take a lot of notice of what was happening out of Broken Hill. But this is the only incident in the First World War that there was a shot fired in anger, and people actually paid with their lives on Australian soil. We find back in 1990s, a group of Turkish people came to Broken Hill, and they wanted to put a friendship memorial up, but unfortunately there was a bit of a public backlash, and didn't seem to be the right time, and I think the wounds are still raw.
So 75 years later, still affects the town so much.
Mm. So whether that will eventually happen, I mean, we're coming up in a few more years, aren't we, the 100 years, so maybe something will eventually come about. But there is always a lot of interest, not only just nationally and internationally, but a lot of Turkish people are interested in this particular incident that happened on the 1st of January of 1915.
A terrible but a fascinating chapter in Broken Hill's history. Thank you again, Brian, for telling us so much about the history of this town.
You're welcome, Noah.
Any idea where we might be taking the listeners next week?
Well, I thought we'd try the Nurses Museum in the Sulphide Street Railway Station. That's certainly worth investigating, and just have a quick look at our history of nursing and hospitals in Broken Hill.